Hi, birth workers. This one's for you. In an ideal world, VBAC parents would be treated just like any other birthing parents. In today's world, most medical providers sadly don't fully support VBAC parents. However, 90% of parents with a prior cesarean are good candidates to attempt a VBAC. This is why we have created the Advanced VBAC Doula Certification Program. In this doula course, we share evidence-based data for you to educate your clients, teach you the tools on helping them how to process past fears and trauma, or helping them decide if VBAC is even right for them. You will feel better prepared to support them during this beautiful experience. All VBAC certified doulas are listed on our website so parents know who you are. To learn more, go to thevbaclink.com. Hello, women of strength. We are a week away from Christmas. I just cannot get over how fast this year has gone and how many incredible stories we have heard. And I cannot wait to even hear more stories next year. But today's story is a VBAC after 3 C-section story. These are stories that we get requested for, I would say almost daily, actually, on Instagram, where we have people writing us saying, like, I need more stories of VBAC after multiple cesarean. Is VBAC after 2 plus cesarean possible? Yes. The answer is yes. And we have Marlene here with us. Hello, Marlene.
Hello.
She's going to be sharing her story, just showing you how possible birth is. So we have a review of the week. We're going to get into that. And then we're going to turn the time over to Marlene. This review is by Rachel. And it says, 11 out of 10 would be the, oh my gosh, hold on. 11 out of 10 would be best friends with these ladies. I love that. You guys, we feel like we're best friends too. Even though we haven't even met half of you, we're like, we just love this community so much. We're all just best friends. It says, amazingly knowledgeable, doulas with a passion for compassion in birth, funny, kind, smart, specialized in VBAC. If humans are exciting your body, you want them by your side. Oh, I love that. That's such a fun review. Thank you so much for your review. And you guys, if you have not yet, please help us kick off the 2025 season with some new reviews. You can go to Google and just type in the VBAC link and you can leave us a review there, or you can leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Okay, Marlene, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that you are here and excited to hear more details about these journeys of yours that led you to the final VBAC after 3 C-section point.
Yeah. Sorry if I say like or you know what I mean so much, because I've been on a few podcasts and it never gets like easier. For some reason, I'm always so nervous. So.
You know what? It is hard. I've been doing, this is episode 300 and something, and I still say like and So it happens, listeners. Just know it happens. Picture yourself sharing your story and thinking about what you're sharing and who you're sharing it to and what you need to share for them. It just happens. Slips out.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll get started. I'm really want to tell my VBAC after 3 C-section, so my fourth story, but I will get into a little bit of my first three because that kind of paints the picture of how I had my VBAC after 3 C-section. I was 18 when I had my first, my son. He's now 15. He's gonna be 16 in November. Man, time flies.
Oh my
Crazy.
goodness, it really does.
Yeah, and so I grew up in LA area, like Norwalk, so the outskirts of LA. And when I was 16, well, I grew up with my parents, my grandparents, because my parents were drug addicts in and out of jail. So the social workers took us and put us with my, there's seven of us, and we all lived, we were fortunate enough to be together with family and my grandparents. So my parents came when I was 16. I'm the youngest of seven. And my parents came when I was 16 years old in the middle of my junior year of high school and was like, oh, we're clean. We want to take you back. And my grandparents were old and they already had raised all their kids and then they raised all of us. So they're like, just go. Like, pretty much they were tired. They wanted to have, you know, I understood. So I was like, okay. So I went with my parents and they moved me like about an hour away from all my friends and all my family. It was just us. And probably like a year later, or if that, like maybe 6 to 8 months later, they started doing their stuff again. And so I got pregnant and I didn't have anybody to ask. I wasn't educated. I didn't know. I just was like, oh, I'm pregnant. Okay, I'm gonna go to the free clinic. I'm gonna go to the doctor. You know, like being a sheep. I just, this is what we do. And so I go to the doctor, the free clinic, and my pregnancy's fine. My son's fine. I'm fine. Like no complications. A beautiful, good pregnancy. But towards 38 weeks, on my 38-week appointment, my OBGYN's like, aren't you so uncomfortable? Like, wouldn't you want to have your baby on your due date? Because most first-time moms could go to like 42 weeks. And I'm like, yeah, like in my head, I was uncomfortable because I was super swollen, but I didn't have preeclampsia. I didn't even know. He didn't even mention preeclampsia or anything. But I was very, like, my ankles and my legs were like probably 3 to 4 times the size of normal. And I was very uncomfortable. I had back pains and stuff, you know. And he's like, so wouldn't you want to have your baby on your due date? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, let's schedule you for your C-section on November 12th. And I'm like, okay, I didn't even know what a C-section was. And not even an induction. Like, now that I think about it, he just done an induction, but no, straight to a C-section. And I'm over here like, okay, I didn't even know what a C-section was. I didn't know th I thought this is how the process was. I was just like so uneducated. And I trusted him. I'm like, he's the expert, quote, air quotes. He's the expert. He knows best. So I'm just gonna trust him, you know? So I showed up at the hospital, went the time and day he said, and they prepped me for a C-section. Yeah, like now in hindsight, like now that I know, I'm like, that's crazy. Like I could have probably sued him or something. But anyway, so 4 and a half years later, I'm 23 years old and I get pregnant again, and I didn't educate myself still. I was, you know, young, living the party life, not really caring and not educating myself. I did plan this one though. The first one was like unplanned, and now my girl, she was planned. We planned to have her, but I still didn't educate myself. And I just knew I wanted a VBAC because I wanted to experience birth the way women are meant to, you know, naturally, how we're supposed to. And so I just went and I went to a different OBGYN in a different city. Now I came back to Norwalk because I'm an adult and I have my own place now. And I went to my sister's OBGYN. She's like, oh, he's good. And I'm like, okay. So I just go with him and he was fine. And I actually got to go into spontaneous labor this time, at least at like 39 weeks. My water broke and straight to the hospital I went. Like, well, that's. I just went straight to hospital because that's what I was told to do. And then I got there and it was, and my pregnancy was fine too, like no complications or anything. And I got there and they're like, okay, well, you're not even dilated, but we'll keep you here since your water's broke. And they let me labor. I didn't really feel anything. 12 hours passed and they're like, oh, they start their. It's risk of infection. We have to get this baby out. Failure to progress, blah, 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 all this stuff. And so I'm like, okay, trusting them again. So they give me another C-section. And then 6 years later, so this is 2019, right before the pandemic, I got pregnant. Probably actually 2018, because I had my second daughter August 2019. And I got pregnant and I was like, this time, I'm a little more educated because I found like the Freebird Society and I was listening and just like started doing more research. And my husband opened my eyes to like, oh, we shouldn't be vaccinating our kids. He had been telling me since before, but I was like, no, I was like so brainwashed. Like my family, they're more like medicalized minded and stuff. And now I'm the total opposite. And my husband, like, he opened my eyes to things. And so I started doing more research. Like, I can't just trust the doctors now and stuff. Now I'm in Fresno, California. When I was pregnant, I went searched high and low for like a good OBGYN, VBAC supportive OBGYN. And a lot of them told me, oh no, we can't do VBAC after C-section. And this one, she told me that we could do it. She was a truly VBAC supportive. I got to decline all the things. Like, I didn't even do the diabetes test. I didn't really do anything except for a little bit of blood work. I declined everything, and she was okay with it. And then she told me, she's like, towards the end, she's like, you don't have to have a C-section. You could try for a VBAC, but I might not be the doctor that's on call. And who's to say the doctor that is on call is going to be VBAC supportive? She's
Right.
like, just to warn you, you might have to stand your ground and fight for your VBAC and stuff. And so I'm like, okay, thank you for being forward
Honest.
with me. Yeah. And so my water did break. I went into spontaneous labor again, and I went to the hospital right after again. I mean, it wasn't as fast this time. Like, I took a shower, ate dinner, and like maybe an hour or two later, I went to the hospital and I didn't get a VBAC supportive doctor. She, the whole time I got there, was like, oh, okay, you can try for a VBAC, but if, I mean, you have, like, telling me all these things that pretty much I can't do it. You haven't done it before. What makes you think you can do it again? And just all this stuff. And this time I did feel some contractions, like, and I was in labor longer than 12 hours, but after the 12 hours, she started saying, oh, infection. And I had to keep fighting them off, the nurses, the doctors, and I was exhausted from, labor, because I think, I believe I got to like 6 centimeters or so. So the
That's
contractions
great.
were pretty, hard. And then she just was like, oh, I'm about to switch shifts. Don't you want me? Like, since you've already been working with me, wouldn't you feel comfortable if I gave you the C-section versus some new person? Their tactics, whatever tactics. Like, I was standing my ground, and then finally I threw the towel in because I was like having to fight all the nurses off while I'm laboring naturally. And, I'm have monitors and the IV and everything else. I was stuck on the bed. They wouldn't even let me move and stuff like
Oh
that.
my goodness.
So I was just like, whatever. Like, I educated myself a little bit more, but I wasn't like fully educated. Like, I didn't know that I was the authority, and I thought they still were. And I did educate myself a little better, but not as much as I should have. And so they wheeled me off into another C-section.
Hey everyone, this is Megan. Preparing for my VBA2C was pretty lonely at times. This is why I, along with Julie, created a Facebook community for all the parents preparing for their VBACs. You can find the link to the community in the episode notes today, or head over to facebook.com and search the VBAC Link Community. This is our safe space to share our stories, tips, and advice on how to achieve a VBAC and ask each other questions. Just remember, studies show 60 to 80% of people who attempt a VBAC will be successful. We're here for each other on this journey. To join, go over to facebook.com and search the VBAC Link Community and start feeling the love and support today.
And then, not even a year later, I got pregnant again. It was like probably 6 months later, I got pregnant again.
Right.
But it's funny because my two boys were unplanned and my two girls were planned. Like, I didn't plan to get pregnant with my fourth. But, and when I found out, especially because it was in the middle of the pandemic, like, they had pretty much just announced the pandemic when I found out I was pregnant. So I was like bawling when I found out. I was like, because the future is so uncertain. Me and my husband just finally, because my husband wants a big family. He wants like 7, 8 kids. And I'm like, you're crazy. And I finally got him to like say, okay, we're done. We don't have to have any more kids. And then I get pregnant again and I'm like, ah, that everything that's going on with the pandemic. So I start bawling and I'm like, I can't believe this, but whatever. I'm pregnant. I don't believe in abortion. I'm just gonna suck it up. And I'm having a VBAC now, especially since like none of them were medically necessary. They were all unnecessary. And so I started doing way more research, reading books, reading articles, listening to podcasts. And finally, I did hear about the Free to Birth Society before, but I really dug in and listened to like every episode. And they're the ones I feel like that made me, I don't know, like want to do it, like believe in myself, you know? And so finally, I tried to go look for like a VBAC doctor though, and I went back to my other one that was truly VBAC supportive, but she's like, oh no, VBAC after 3 C-sections, we can't do this. And I'm like, okay then. And then so I went to look for all the midwives in my area. I interviewed them all, and they're like, nope, we could lose our license, sorry for it. Like, we can't do it. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm just gonna have to have an unassisted birth or a free birth, however you guys call it. And I was like, so I'm gonna look for a doula. And so I looked for a doula all in my area, and all of them told me, no, we can't be your doula because it's going to be an unassisted birth. And so I'm like, okay, then. So I was like, I guess I'm going to do it all on my own. And like I said, I started reading all books, all the th doing all the things. And it comes to the day, my due date comes, and my water breaks actually on my due date. And I'm like, oh, okay. And but it was normal, like a normal day. I was like cooking and stuff. But it didn't usually when with my two girls, when my water broke, it was like a full gush, like all of it broke. But this time, it was like a trickle, like a little trickle, like if it might have like tore. And I knew about it. I was like, okay, it could replenish or whatever. I'm not gonna panic. I'm just gonna go about my day. But it wouldn't stop trickling, and so I had to put like a diaper on. Or a pad, like a diaper, like a big pad or a diaper. And I just like went about my day, but I never felt contractions. And then I went to sleep, and the next day was a normal day. And then that night, I went to put my kids to bed, and me and my husband lay down, and I start feeling these sensations, and they're pretty hard. They're not hard enough where I have to get up and walk around, but they're hard enough to keep me up. And they were not consistent, but they were happening like all night. Like I didn't sleep all night because of them. And then in the morning, at 6 in the morning, they totally went away, and I had like another normal day. And then I went back to sleep, and I got to sleep that night. And then again, I put my kids to bed, and me and my husband lay down, and I feel these sensations, and they're like a little stronger. And the same thing, like I didn't even tell my husband, I was just laying next to him. And I put in like my Christian hypnobirthing, and I try to listen to it and breathe through them, and they weren't consistent. And then the sun comes up and they go away. And it keeps happening like that, like every other night. And then for like a week and a half, this happened. For a week and a
Whoa.
half, yeah.
And you're still having like trickling and stuff, or no?
No, I wasn't having trickling anymore, only
Just went
the
away.
like that one day.
Yeah.
And so, but I think, 'cause my water never broke again. Like I think it really was broke for that week and a half.
Whoa. Okay.
And I'm just like it's playing with me. Like I'm just like, man, is this real? Is it not? Is it, you know, prodromal labor or what's
Drama.
going on? Yeah. And I'm like, what's going on, you know? And then finally the day comes, and I had up been up all night the previous night. Sorry. And then I had a normal day, and then I went to bed. But at 3 o'clock in the morning this time, I woke up with strong, and they kept getting stronger, faster, more consistent. And I'm like, okay. And I couldn't even lay down like the other days. And I'm like, this is probably it. I had to get up. I didn't wake up my husband. I went and took a bath, and I was like, oh, I didn't have like a pool because I didn't want to make more work for my husband. I was like trying to be not selfish, you know. I was like, even though now I wish I did have a birth pool, I probably wouldn't have went to the hospital if I did. But I went in the pool. It was hard and small, so I'm like, oh, I can't be in here. And I got out, and then I went to the living room, and I was pacing back and forth, and on my ball and trying to watch TV to get my mind off of things. And then, like, at 6 in the morning, my husband wakes up. He always wakes up early. He woke up and he's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I was like, "I think it's the real thing this time, though." And he's like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna go to Home Depot." And I'm like, "No, babe, don't go. I need you. Like, this is like really intense. The baby's gonna be coming soon." And he's like, "No, I'm just gonna go." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever, just go." And so he goes, and I go to the restroom and I try to check myself because I'm like, I never educated on myself how to check myself because I wanted to trust my body and I didn't want any cervical checks. But in the moment, I was like, I want to see how much longer, even though cervical checks don't really tell you how long you
I
have. But in my head, I was like, I've been going through
need
this
to
for a week
know.
and a half. I want to know how dilated I am. But I stuck my fingers up there wrong. I only went to like my first knuckle, but now I know you have to go like put your whole hand in there, go way high up there. And I only felt like no opening. So I'm like, oh my goodness, like how much longer am I gonna have to go through this? And I started getting like blood kind of dripping down my
Bloody
leg.
show.
Well, it was like drops of blood on my dripping
Oh,
down my leg. Like I see
yeah.
my cervix was opening, so it was bleeding a little bit. It wasn't too much. It was just a little bit. And so I call my husband. I'm like, "Adam, get home." That's my husband's name. "Take me to the hospital. I need an epidural." And so he's like, he comes home like 30 minutes later. And then when he gets here, the first thing out of his mouth, "Are you sure you want to go to the hospital? Because you told me, unless it's an emergency, don't take you to the hospital. You told me this." And I'm like, "Shut up and take me to the hospital." I'm all mad at him because he left me and he's not like helping me, you know? And so we drive to the hospital. It's like a 15-minute drive, and I get there and I'm like, check me, I wanna know, you know, how far along I am." And so they check me and they're like, "You're 9.5 centimeters." And I'm like, okay, so
Yay.
my whole mentality changes. I'm like, I should have stayed home. I'm here, I'm not gonna take that horrible car ride again. I guess we're gonna have a baby here, you know? So, but when I got there, they're like, "Okay, let's prep you for a C-section," because this was the hospital that I had established care with my third, so they knew I've already had 3 C-section. And so they're like, "Okay, let's prep you for your C-section." And I'm like, "I'm not having a C-section. I'm pretty much pushing this baby out. I'm 9.5 centimeters. I'm there." And they're like, "Okay." And so the nurse went to go get the doctor, and like about 10 minutes later, and now I'm pretty much like almost like,
Complete.
yeah, I'm pretty much complete. And they didn't check me no other time, but they're like, "Okay, they just wanted her to tell me that I needed a C-section." And I'm like, "Lady, I'm not gonna have a C-section. I'm pretty much pushing this baby out." And she's like, so she goes to my husband, "Oh, you know, your wife needs a C-section, or you or her and your baby could die." And he's like, "Lady, get out of here. We're not gonna do a C-section." She's pretty much there. And then she leaves. And then 10 minutes later, she gets more like fierce, like, "You need a C-section or you and your baby will die. Do you understand that?" And I'm like breathing through my contraction and closing my eyes and ignoring her. And then she goes and tells my husband the same thing. And he's like, "Lady, don't come back. We're not having a C-section." And so she leaves and doesn't come back. And then I push the baby out in only like 2 pushes.
Oh my gosh. So, like, was the doctor even with you?
So a different doctor, which is the doctor that I seen for my third,
Okay,
she came
yeah.
one, and actually I did establish care with her for, I forgot to mention this earlier. I did establish care with her, but since it was the pandemic and I was like, I only seen her about 3 times throughout my pregnancy. And I was like, I only want to make sure I don't have placenta previa, like the placenta's not in the way, the baby's, you know, everything's fine. Like I went a couple times to the doctor and I told her, oh, is it at the last, like around 34 weeks, she's like, or 36, I can't really remember, but towards the end in the last trimester, the last time I seen her, she's like, "Okay, let's schedule you for a C-section." And I'm like, "No, I don't want to." You know, I have to talk to my husband and ask him his schedule, because the whole time I was like, okay, like I told her, okay, I would have a C-section, but in my mind I was planning I'm not gonna, you know. And then so she's like, "Well, we can schedule it now, and then if it doesn't work for your husband, then you can cancel, reschedule." And I was like, "No, I'll just not schedule it and I'll call you." once I get his schedule. And then she's like, okay. And like a few weeks pass, or like a week passes, and then she calls me, but I didn't answer, and they just left a voicemail. Hi, we need to schedule your C-section. And I heard nothing from them after that. Like, she never tried to call back. I didn't try to call her back until I seen her in the labor room. So that's the lady who delivered my baby. And yeah, and she was just like, when she seen me and I was pushing, she's like, hi, Marlene. And I'm like, hello. Like, she had like a look on
You're
her
like,
face,
yes,
like,
I've
you're
been
crazy.
ignoring you.
Yeah, it was the funniest thing. And yeah, but it was amazing. And I told them, like, I want delayed cord clamping, I don't want any vaccines. But the whole time she's like, you're bleeding a lot, we need to cut the cord. Because I did bleed a lot for their comfort, but I felt fine. Like, it was a lot of blood, but I didn't need a transfusion or anything. Like, I didn't feel dizzy. I felt, fine. But in their case, supposedly I was hemorrhaging. But I know women, some women don't bleed a lot. Some women don't bleed at all. Some women do bleed a lot. It's just different for everybody. And I told them, leave the cord alone, leave the placenta alone. And I still had to advocate the whole time because they were trying to cut the cord sooner than I wanted, trying to put the ointment on the baby's eyes, trying to vaccinate. And then she also, like, before I left, they told me CPS came to visit me because they said medical neglect because I didn't see my OBGYN too many times throughout my pregnancy. And I was like, I used the pandemic for excuse. I was like, well, I have three kids at home. Nobody can watch them. I can't take them to the doctor with me. What do you expect me to leave my three young children at home unsupervised? I don't know anybody around here to watch them. And so they just dropped everything. It was crazy, but it
Wow,
was.
what was the process like with CPS? Like we hear it happening. Like what did they do?
Well, I guess they have like somebody in the hospital, like a CPS worker that works within the hospital
Really?
for cases like mine or whatever.
Interesting.
That's what I was told. And she just came and she was really sweet. She was like, so I have to come and check. And she's like, can you tell me why you didn't go to the doctor? You only went three times throughout your whole pregnancy. You didn't make it to every appointment. And I pretty much, like I said, I have young children at home, nobody's willing to watch them, and I can't take them to my appointments. And she's like, okay, and that's it. And she's like, okay, well, case closed. I just needed to do my job and ask you. So
It wasn't like I'm gonna take this baby away from you because you didn't go. And this is the hard thing for me is I'm gonna get a little salty, okay? Well, just a little salty. Providers need to do better. Hospitals need to do better. If they don't want people having free birth or unassisted birth, stop pushing people to do that. I also don't judge anyone who does a free birth. Like that's everyone, everyone has their own thing, and we've shared free birth stories on here. But if they're gonna give people so much crap and call CPS on them, which is completely ridiculous because these people are just trying to do what's best. Anyway, stop making people go that route. Providers, if you are listening, please change your ways and do better because you can't shame someone for going out of the hospital or not having support from a provider if you don't offer the support that they deserve from the first place. Right? We're restricting midwives out of hospital. Providers are restricting after two cesareans, sometimes even after one. We have to do better in the medical world in order to see change. And then people who decide, okay, I'm going to get what I feel is right. I'm going to do what I feel is right. And I'm going to free birth, or I'm going to go unassisted, or I'm not going to go in and be hounded about everything that I don't want. Right? Like, it's so aggravating to me that people put people through CPS and things like that because they made the best choice for them. When they were pushed away, you had three unnecessary cesareans. You were failed from the beginning, right? The very, very first birth. A provider set you up for failure that they had no idea, maybe they did, what the repercussions would be in the further years, right? With how much you would have to go through to find the support, to get the support. It's frustrating to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. And honestly, that's what made me, because I'm a doula, that's what made me become a doula, because I want to try as best as I can. I'm just one person, not a very important person in the medical world, but try to educate my clients on not getting an unnecessary induction, unnecessary C-section. I'm not against them if they're an emergency, but if they're unnecessary, they're handing them out like Oprah. You get a C-section, you get an induction, that's how they're handing them out. From in my area, that's what I see. And also because the ladies that want to have a free birth like me, if I would have had a doula to support me, then I would have probably done it at home. But that's and then so I'm that doula that I was looking for. I support free birth. I'll be there if you're free birthing and you can't find any other doula.
And there are a lot of doulas that feel uncomfortable with it, a lot of it because maybe they're uneducated on it. But I do think it's important for people who do decide to free birth just to make sure that you're educated, you know what you're doing, you have a backup plan, you have the support. And it is good to hear that, you and other doulas are able to go and support still. It's just everybody has to decide what's best for them and what feels best, but support is needed, so I'm glad that you are willing to support your community.
Yeah, honestly, I've noticed that the ones that decide to free birth are very prepared and educated, even more so than the ones that are doing it in the hospital and stuff, because they have to, in my experience at least.
They do have to, and I do believe that those people who decide to free birth, they just don't take it nonchalant. Like, it's a very serious thing that they take. And we talked about that in the last episode. It's important to note that, like, these people, they're very educated. It's not just, oh, I'm gonna go have a baby by myself in my closet. Like, it's not like that. I mean, really, these people are educated. So I'm so happy for you that you were able to fight through this and to grow through each of your pregnancies and your births, because you deserve that support. And I'm sorry that you had to fight so hard in, like, the pushing stages, pretty much. Like, big eye roll. Like, this is just, again, we need to do better. We need to do better.
I agree. And I'm glad for like podcasts like yours and other ones to get, the story out there, because we do learn as a community through storytelling and stuff, because
We
that's
do.
actually what, helped me a lot. So,
Yeah, we do. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your stories today.
you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to the vbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hi, birth workers. This one's for you. In an ideal world, VBAC parents would be treated just like any other birthing parents. In today's world, most medical providers sadly don't fully support VBAC parents. However, 90% of parents with a prior cesarean are good candidates to attempt a VBAC. This is why we have created the Advanced VBAC Doula Certification Program. In this doula course, we share evidence-based data for you to educate your clients, teach you the tools on helping them how to process past fears and trauma, or helping them decide if VBAC is even right for them. You will feel better prepared to support them during this beautiful experience. All VBAC certified doulas are listed on our website so parents know who you are. To learn more, go to thevbaclink.com.